Hey guys, welcome back to episode 28 of Riotcast. It's a new year. I've been getting consistent again, but like the last two episodes were so short, it was kind of like, yeah. And I'm finally getting back on track. I'm trying to get more guests. It's just, you know, people have their own lives going on, so sometimes it's hard to get someone to commit to something that they're not getting. I mean, obviously this doesn't make a bunch of money, so it's not like they're getting paid for it, so it's kind of difficult to like really schedule it out and then motivate them to come do it when, you know, a lot of times people just want to hang out, they don't want to podcast, or even when they want to podcast, they don't understand that it means we're going to talk for like 30 minutes to an hour without checking our cell phones every 10 seconds, so I've had opportunities for some guests that I haven't put on just because I didn't think they would be quality. I figured you'd enjoy solo more than with that. So that's not a diss on any one specific person. Actually, this is more in reference to a while ago. But people have lives. Sometimes they have a shift they forgot about. Sometimes they just, you know, are like, hey man, it's snowy. I don't wanna drive anywhere right now. You know, and those are fine. So for the time being, I'm probably going to end up doing a lot more solo episodes, kind of how it used to be. And it's just kind of like finding that structure for a good solo episode, because I've done some pretty great solo episodes before, but the issue is sometimes I do it last minute, and sometimes it's just like you're not in the mood. Well, you know, it's like I'm trying to be in the mood, but it's like a guest canceled last second, so now I just went from having like a guaranteed conversation to like, what am I going to talk about, like all these questions I can't ask to nobody. So it's like, I don't know, I try to put a good amount of time and effort into this, but I think once a week is probably the perfect amount for me. I think I'm going to try to aim for like 20 to 25 minutes an episode, kind of like, you know, an episode of The Simpsons or something at first, and then with guests, obviously, they'll be longer. And, I mean, at one point, I was getting, like, over 100, usually around the 200 range, give or take 20 listens. And so I was able to do a little bit more, but post Tyler's death, I don't know. I let it die down, and so now I'm, like, building back up from square one, and it's tough to do for a lot of reasons. I think I talked about this in the last episode, so I'm probably just beating a dead horse at this point, so I'm going to move on. What I'd like to do is kind of structure it more. I want to go back into doing my UFC picks. I should start reviewing my UFC picks, because I do okay. I'm not going to lie, it's just fist fights, so, like, I'm sure the odds makers are like, well, duh, that's what we thought, but, like, cage fighting's so crazy. It's not like soccer or something where, like, yeah, you're wrong sometimes, but like when they're like, whoa, these people are like the crazy heavy favorite, and 9 times out of 10 they win, it's like, no, with MMA it's like the heavy favorite wins probably like 70% of the time, depending, obviously. But I don't know. I do enjoy doing this, and I've been consistent again. But I could do a better job, and I will do a better job. It's just, I don't know. But it's 2020. My podcast is a month shy of a year old, I think. About a month shy of a year old. Yeah, it's January 4th, so I think I started it February 20th sometime, 22nd maybe. So, I mean, it's been going for a while. It's had ups and downs already, and I think in year two, if I just stay consistent, I can easily grow it beyond where it was, even though it's kind of like starting from ground zero. So, I don't know, bear with me on that, but, I mean, I haven't done a whole lot since last week. My life's really not that crazy. I mean, I did some work. It worked. I got back in the gym this morning. Was one of the roughest workouts of the week, and of course, we usually keep it at a pretty appropriate pace, but someone threw an overhand and just opened up my eyebrow, tiny, tiny little cut, and those things bleed so much. But I didn't even realize it was bleeding. Like, I got hit and it kind of stung, and that's pretty standard for getting hit in the face. So I was just like, whatever. And then someone was like, hey, you've got blood everywhere. So I like had to rush, clean it off real quick, and get back into training. Because, you know, no one wants me to wipe my blood all over him. But it was a good morning. I definitely got tagged with some big shots. I was feeling it a little later in the day. I was like, lights are kind of bugging me all of a sudden. I don't think I have any amount of concussion, but definitely felt like if someone had came up to me and been like, you have a mild concussion, I'd been like, yep, that makes sense. We usually don't go as rough as we did. But for whatever reason, it was just kind of a rougher morning. But anyways, so I haven't done my UFC picks in a while, and as far as I can tell, because I'm on the UFC website, the next fight card is actually the UFC 246, which is the Conor McGregor's fight card with Cerrone. And what I love about when Conor fights, like, love him or hate him, and I do tend to like the guy, but with all the recent media and all the talk before the Khabib fight, and especially all the talk now where he's saying like Khabib's scared to fight him, I'm like, he's scared to whoop your ass for 5 rounds again? That doesn't make sense. He sounds delusional. I know he's just trying to get the fight, but it's like you can't get worked every single round of a fight. Oh, except round three, if I remember correctly. But you can't get worked every single round of a fight and then say that you're scaring the other guy away. That just isn't how, it's just not how the sport works. Now this fight card is on January 18th. I dropped the ball and didn't get the fight card for, well, actually, I don't think there's a fight card for this evening. But, I don't know. What's cool about when he fights, though, after my little tangent there, is that the prelims are always lit. The main card is obviously lit. Even the early prelims are usually pretty good. And just to give you an example, Tim Elliott, I believe he trains out of Kansas City. Tim Elliott, he fought Demetrius Johnson for a world title like a year or two or three ago. I want to say like 2 years ago, maybe longer. I don't know. I'm aging fast, kids. But I basically he fought for a title not that long ago, and he's on the early prelims. But I don't know. I'm pretty stoked for this card. I don't know a whole lot of the fighters on the early prelims. I do know a few. Obviously, the main one being Tim Elliott, and he's fighting a guy I'm not familiar with named Askar Askarov, and he's 10-0 with one draw. So I wouldn't be surprised in the least bit if he went in there and wrecked shop. But like, you got to think like, as far as I know, Tim Elliott's training with like Megan Anderson and James Krause and stuff. And again, the Kansas City gym is pretty legit because when I went to Arkansas, like I wanted to visit it bad. I wanted to check it out, but that just didn't end up happening. But as far as I know, it's like a pretty legit gym. And so, I don't know. Tim Elliott being more experienced and actually pushing Demetrius Johnson quite well. I wouldn't be surprised. And I'd imagine he's the favorite in this fight. I'd imagine that he can utilize his grappling and just kind of, I mean, I guess he's got pretty good striking too. I see him. I feel like he's more of a grappler, but that's just opinion based. I haven't seen one of his fights in a long time. So, I don't know. I feel like the easy pick is Tim Elliott, but I don't know the other guy, but he is undefeated, so it's like I feel like I should take a shot on whoever isn't the favorite. I don't know the betting odds for this though. So I'm just gonna say that that looks like a fun fight. I don't have all the information I quite need to really make a pick on that. But on the prelims, let me see what we got rocking here. Okay, so on the prelims, I'm gonna go ahead and skip the first fight. I'm not super familiar with those two gentlemen. We've got Drew Dober, who I became a pretty big fan of when he fought Darnell Dariush. I believe he lost that fight with like an armbar or something, but I remember like he came out just slugging, like tagging him hard, and I remember just being like, whoa, that was a good fight. Like, that was just genuinely enjoyable to watch. And I'm pretty sure he's a pretty young guy, so I mean, I think that he's someone we'll definitely see in the future as like a more mainstay name, kind of like a Kevin Lee almost. I don't know if he's necessarily on the level of Kevin Lee, but I mean, when Kevin Lee was starting out, he wasn't anywhere near as good as he is now. I mean, that's just how it works. You just keep improving when you get experience and learn new moves, and you just, you know, you've done the damn thing. So I'm actually excited to watch Drew Dober fight. I want to say I've seen his opponent, that's a tough name. I'm not even going to pronounce it. I'll just upset everyone. I don't know much about his opponent. I feel like I've seen him somewhere, maybe just in the posters from Drew Dober's Instagram or something. But, yeah, I obviously am leading Drew Dober in this fight. Oh, jeez. Drew Dober is 21-9, actually. I didn't know that about him. He's good. I mean, obviously, with that many fights, 30 fights and a no contest, so this will be his 32nd fight professionally. You tend to be pretty good, I'd imagine. Right above him is actually Andre Fili versus Sadiq Youssef. Andre Fili, I believe, is one of the Team Alpha Male guys, so I mean, they're always awesome. I mean, look at Cody Garbrandt and all that. Uriah Faber recently fought, too, and I think he lost, but I didn't watch that fight. He's fighting Sadiq Youssef, who I have seen a little bit of recently, so that should be a pretty exciting matchup. Again, I'm not sure about how that one will go down. I'd imagine that Andre Fili, being the more experienced guy, would be the one to get it done. But, I mean, Sadiq Youssef is 10-1, so that's pretty impressive. And then Roxanne Modafferi, I believe is her name, is how it's said. She, I can't remember what season of The Ultimate Fighter she was in, but she did pretty good. I don't know. I wanted to say she maybe won or came close to winning or was in the finale or something, because I saw her face all over the internet for a while. But she's fighting Macy Barber, who I don't know a whole lot about, but she is undefeated at 8-0, so I gotta imagine it goes the way of Macy Barber. But now we can move on to the main card, where I'll know just a little bit more. We have Anthony Pettis fighting Carlos Diego Fiera, Ferraria. I think I was right the first time. I actually don't know that I've seen Carlos before in action, but he's got an incredibly good record. I feel like Anthony Pettis has been doing very good again as of recently. That, and he was on a Wheaties box, so I'll take Anthony Pettis by KO or TKO in the second round. But again, he's fighting a super talented guy. 16 fights, only 2 losses. I mean, I don't know. I'm picking Anthony Pettis because that's who I know. But like, just looking at the records, you got to think that this Carlos guy is a freaking monster. Next we have Claudia Gadeja versus Alexa Grasso. I'm going to go Claudia Gadeja by decision. And then we have Aleksei Oleinik versus Maurice Green. And I'm going to pick Aleksei Oleinik by KO. That might be a dumb pick, actually. I don't know. Again, I don't know enough about the opponent to really make a pick on that. But I do think that the Claudia's decision's a pretty safe bet, just because, you know, I think she's going to utilize a lot of wrestling in that fight. I don't know. I think it'll be a good fight. It's obviously going to be a great night of fights. Everywhere is going to be packed. So, I mean, you might want to watch this one at home unless you want to get to a bar or something super early. Next, we have the co-main event, which is Holly Holm, which I love. I think that she's had some losses that weren't losses, specifically Jermaine Durandamy. She's fighting Raquel Pennington, and Raquel Pennington is tough and has had title fights, but I see Holly Holm finishing this probably in round one or two. I'm gonna say KO. I do think that this should be an easy fight for Holly Holm. Now, cut two, I'll probably be eating crow, but not probably. I mean, I might eat crow on this, but I do think that Holly Holm's kickboxing and grappling, I think she's just so much better everywhere than Raquel Pennington. I think that she makes it a quick night, and maybe we see another dope head kick from Holly Holm. I don't see this one going long. I think Holly Holm is just, I think Raquel Pennington's very talented, but I think Holly Holm is just on another planet when it comes to skill. So, I'm glad Holly Holm's in the co-main, and I'm glad that, I mean, I'm surprised that that's her opponent for the co-main. I don't know. I think Holly Holm might just be getting set up to try to get a little more superstardom going or something, because seems like when she fought Betch Kerheya, you know, it's like, yeah, she's fighting, and yeah, there's a possibility she'll lose, but most likely she's going to walk in there and drop someone with a head kick. So hopefully that's what we see. I'm a big Holly Holm fan. I do see a head kick in round one or two. I would be surprised if it went much longer than that, but I mean, anything's possible in this sport. Which brings me to the main event at welterweight. We have Donald Cerrone versus Conor McGregor, and if this was Conor McGregor just a few years ago, like, shit, 2016, he beat Alvarez. Even after that, though, like 2017, just a few years ago. I can't believe it was 2016 already. Jeez, I'm getting old. I think it was like 16 or 17. Time flies. If it was the Conor that beat Alvarez or Aldo, I'd have to say Conor all day. Now, I do think that I am a bigger fan of Cerrone. I would say that I've probably always been a slightly bigger fan of Donald Cerrone. Although, I guess when Conor McGregor was like white hot famous, like he was just at the top of his fame, I was probably on the bandwagon. I mean, I was definitely on the bandwagon. I'm still a big fan of Conor's, but with all his shenanigans lately, I'm kind of like less of a fan. And it seems like his fighting ability is either, I don't even know it's fair to say that his ability's gone downhill, really. It's like, because who did he, I'll pull him up on the interwebs, but as far as I know, he's only lost to, like, I think he lost to Floyd right after that. Because didn't he do Alvarez, and then he did Diaz too, I thought. And he beat Diaz there. I'm looking it up. Hey, Conor McGregor. And I should have had this pulled up beforehand. I apparently thought I had his record memorized. So he's got 21 wins, 4 losses. That's no news to anyone. I think everyone knew that. He's still at SBG Idaho. So he fought, oh, that's weird. On his official MMA record on Sherdog, which was and might not be anymore my favorite little fight website. I might start just using Tapology. They counted his loss to Floyd Mayweather. And as far as I know, that if you're a professional, your MMA record and your boxing record are completely separate. So I believe that would make him 21 and 3 in MMA. And maybe they're not actually counting the Floyd loss, because I thought he had another loss. But it doesn't matter. Point is, you can't, they really shouldn't have counted that. That's weird. Oh, that was in 2017. 3 years ago now. That's crazy. Or almost 3 years. But anyway, so he went ahead and he fought, wow, I'm struggling. That's my brain damage kicking in. So he fought Jose Aldo, then he lost to Nate Diaz, then he beat Nate Diaz, then he fought Eddie Alvarez. That seems incorrect to me. No, that must be right. So I guess my memory is just playing tricks on me, and I'm losing it. But yeah, I guess he lost to Nate Diaz. Oh, that's right, because he was like he wanted to come back immediately and beat him at the same weight class and all that. So yeah, that's right. Okay, so he comes back, he beats Nate Diaz. Then he fought Eddie Alvarez at the end of 2016. And that was like, I think that was probably as famous as he had been. That or the Aldo fight. Then he fought Floyd Mayweather. Again, weird it's showing up on his MMA record, but I guess it's just his overall fight history. I don't know if I really count that as a loss because it's the greatest boxer of one of the greatest boxers of our time. I mean, I guess I would imagine he's widely considered the greatest. If Tyler were here, he'd be arguing with me about that fact. So, I mean, he transitioned sports and fought the best guy at that sport. And the issue is yeah, he boxes, and that's how he gets a lot of his wins. But the issue is, he only trains hands. There's things you can get away with in just boxing, like just hugging and stuff that I've talked about even on here from an amateur standpoint that you just can't do in MMA. And then, I mean, there's not a lot you can do in MMA that you can't do in boxing. Obviously, like the kicks and the grappling and all that. But, like, I mean, as far as the boxing in MMA goes, I guess you can get away with a lot more overhands than you could in regular boxing. But point is, if people like to harp on that and talk about how many fights he's lost in a row, but that one doesn't really count. It's like when you're little, like when I was little, they put us in wrestling. It was like first or second grade. They put us in wrestling, and my uncle, he wrestled a lot in like high school, so he had an idea of how to wrestle. He's a grown man. I'm a second grader. When I'd wrestle him, I knew I wasn't gonna beat him. It was just to have fun, you know? And I feel like when Connor fought Floyd, it was kind of just for fun in hindsight. Not for fun, I think it was for money. But I do think that maybe Connor thought he could beat Floyd. I don't know. Because it's just to beat the best boxer of all time, you'd have to have some a shit ton of faith in yourself, which is what Conor McGregor is known for. But a lot of those guys are like shit talky on the mic, and then they're like super humble behind cameras. So I don't know. I mean, it's, I guess at the time I thought he had a shot too. I bet my friend, because my friend said he wouldn't make it out of a certain amount of rounds, and I was like, I bet he makes it, you know, past 5 rounds at least. And I won that bet. I believe it went to the 10th or something. But anyways, enough harping on that. So really after that, according to Sure Dog, he lost to Khabib after that, and I think that's correct. Someone was saying he hadn't won a fight in a long time. I mean, he hasn't, because his last fight was 2018, his last win being in 2016, although it's at the end of 2016. We're gonna go to Tapology, because I don't believe this. Well, I believe it, but it just seems sus. I don't know. He's still super talented. Again, even if you counting the Floyd Mayweather loss, he's 21-4. That's an amazing record. If someone were 16-4, they would be a bona fide bad motherfucker, for example. So he's got 5 wins on someone that would still be considered pretty dang badass. So I don't know, man. I think that Connor's gonna come back. I think he still has it because even in the Khabib fight, yeah, he got worked, but like the counter wrestling was dope. I think he kind of had to work out some demons of his own. I mean, he's still got a lot of legal issues. He's still not necessarily a good guy. He kind of John Jones'd himself in a way. But I don't know. He's talented. I think he could come back, and I believe he would be the favorite to win this fight. I mean, he showed a lot of good things. Yeah, okay, so this is right. He fought Nate Diaz and lost, rematched Nate Diaz and won, and then he fought Eddie Alvarez and won, And then obviously the Floyd Mayweather thing, which is on here too. So I guess maybe it's just showing his overall fight career. Maybe it does count on both records, but I don't think so. But then he fought Khabib. So he's only on a 2-loss win streak, one of which is the greatest boxer of... some people say the GOAT. I don't know about the GOAT, but I mean, one of the greatest boxers to do it. He's 50-0, so it's tough to argue against. I don't know. He's, again, 21-4. That's a legit record. I just can't imagine. I don't know. I don't know why people are giving him so much hate. Like, that's a legit record. But he's fighting Donald Cerrone. Sorry to get off track on you guys. But he's fighting Donald Cerrone. And with Conor, it's interesting because some nights it doesn't feel like he showed up completely. Like in the Khabib fight, for example, he just seemed like something was wrong. Maybe, I mean, it almost seemed like he had staph infection. I remember he's fighting slow, but his counter wrestling was dope. He does have a tendency to gas out, but Cerrone's fought a shit ton. He's 36-13, so also a badass, but I mean, he's definitely getting a little older. He went on a terror there for a little bit. I think Donald Cerrone is definitely, like, top two favorite fighters for me. So it's hard for me to pick against him, but I could see Conor McGregor coming in here and stopping Donald Cerrone because, I mean, people don't like to admit it, but Donald Cerrone is about as legit as they come. I don't know, and I don't think this is for, like, any belts or anything. It shouldn't be. But I think, I don't know, this will definitely be the fight of 2020, I'd imagine. But even with Conor's fame kind of dipping, I don't know. My heart is with Cerrone, but I think that Conor McGregor can get this done. But I mean, Cerrone since 2016 has fought, I mean, again, McGregor's last win was in 2016, November, so let's start from December of 2016. That's when Donald Cerrone did that gnarly head kick KO combo of Matt Brown. Then he lost to George Masvidal. Jorge Masvidal? I don't know how you're supposed to say it. That was 2017. Just 1 month later. So after beating Matt Brown, he got back in there a month later. Obviously, Jorge Masvidal is, like, we've seen, is now, like, one of the baddest asses in the UFC. I think probable title holder at some point. Then he fights Robbie Lawler. Looks like he took some time off there. He took off, like, 6 months, which is good. And he fights Robbie Lawler and loses a decision. I remember definitely took some damage in that fight. And then 3 months later, because he's an absolute madman, fights Darren Till, and at the time we didn't know who Darren Till was, but he was 15-0, and as we know, Darren Till quickly wiped the floor with him, because Darren Till is now a middleweight, but he was a monster at welterweight. I think he only had one or two losses at welterweight. I think it was just the one to Woodley, actually. And that's the fight that actually made Darren Till so popular. But then he fights Yancy Medeiros, like 4 months later. And he wins with punches in round one. I don't remember that fight very much, but I do remember being excited that Cerrone won. Then Leon Edwards, however you're supposed to say it, he fought him 4 months later, and he lost by decision, but again, Leon Edwards is on like a 5-6 fight win streak in the welterweight division in the UFC, so again, a future title challenger. Then he beat Mike Perry by armbar. I can't believe that was in 2018, that feels like it was yesterday. Then Alexander Hernandez in January of last year, almost January 19th of last year. Again, can't believe that was a year ago either. He won with head kick and punches. Then he beats Alec Quinto, which again, feels like yesterday. But that one was like halfway through the year. So that one was not that long ago. So then he fought Tony Ferguson. And he, a month
after fighting Aya Quinta, and he lost due to doctor stoppage. I believe that's the one where his eye was all puffy and just gross. And then he fights, I could have quit saying and then so much, but then he fought Justin Gaethje. That was a pretty rough loss. That's kind of like what I mean, is like sometimes it feels like he doesn't always show up. Like he seems sort of, I don't know, he's doing okay in the fight, and then he just kind of, I don't know, not his fight. That's all you really need to know. But that was a round one KO, and that was, it was 9. Okay, so he took some time off, which is good. Now he's fighting Conor McGregor, but again, Conor McGregor's fought like 3 or 4 times since 2016, or hasn't won since 2016, but has fought 3. So he beat Eddie Alvarez, he lost to Floyd, lost to Khabib. So he's fought 3 times since 2016. That's 3 times in a little less than 4 years, but give or take 4 years. And, since a month after that in 2016, Cerrone has fought 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times. My God. And of those 11 times, he won. And that's not counting the win streak he had right before that in 2016. Like, 2016 was like when he was on that terror. He had just lost a Rafael dos Anjos, and he moved up. He beat Alex Oliveira, Patrick Cote, Rick Story, Matt Brown, and then he started getting losses again. But from the end of 2016, so really 2017 on, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 losses. So he's getting a little older. He's getting a little dicier record-wise. I do think it's about time for Cerrone to ride off in the sunset. I do think if he wins this fight, I don't think he's going to use his grappling at all. But if he were to grapple, I think he'd win this fight not necessarily super easily, but I do think he'd win this fight. But I don't think he's going to do that because he wants to put on a show and he wants to bang. And I think because of that, he's going to get KO'd or TKO'd, unfortunately. I think that if he wins this fight, though, he'd go on to have a few more fights. I don't know that he'd do a title fight. I think they give him a title fight at 55 then, maybe. I think that his career is going to wrap up any time now. But he's an absolute madman, so he could be fighting until I'm 40. Whereas if Connor loses this fight, I think he's donezo. He might come back for one more Nate fight, like, in another 2-3 years. But other than that, I would say he's probably done fighting. And I think that if Connor wins, I think that Nate fight's probably what's next for him. And if he wins that, maybe we'll see him rematch Khabib or something. Or maybe he beats Cerrone super awesomely and he fights Khabib again immediately, which I think would be a mistake. I think the move is to give him Cerrone, and if he beats Cerrone, to give him Nate, and if he beats Nate, then let him rematch Khabib, and then I don't think we'd see Conor fight again after that. I don't think either of these guys are necessarily going to capture any belts, though I would love to see Cerrone capture a belt, and I'd like to see Conor McGregor get back to like his old glory and just start wrecking everyone again, but I don't think that that's going to be the case. But anyways, guys, Happy New Year's. I hope that was a good episode for you. I missed talking about the UFC, so it's been fun doing this podcast more consistently again. I definitely took my time to be butthurt and grieve and all that, but I think I can get it rocking again. I'm also starting to lose my voice because I'm such a chatty bitch. But anyways, guys, you stay safe out there, and always thanks for listening.